Kevin, you want your water?
Oh, yes, sir. Get your mind out of the way.
I don't want to turn it over.
You want to actually drink my water? We might be related.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Well, come on and give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Certainly God has been good to me. Amen. In spite of everything that I've been through in my life. I'll tell you, disappointments, pain, sufferings, backbiting, lies, slander. But the Lord has kept me through it all. And I got to tell you, it's good to have people in your life who truly love you and who are praying for you on a daily basis. Amen. Amen. It really does make a difference. And you know, you may not realize it, but God has kept all of us because other people are praying for us and because other people have been battling in the spirit to fight against the stuff that Satan wants to do against us. Amen. As a matter of fact, I had some folk come up to my church, and they experienced that we have a diversity of a congregation. And one of the things that they said when I went to preach at my home church last night was, they said, I was so impressed when I came to your church. And they said, man, there were white folks and there were black folks and so on and so forth. And I said, isn't that the way it's going to be when we get to glory? Amen. And so that's one of the things that I love about coming here to Wilderness Interspiritual Enterprise, is that we have a diverse ministry. And I know that God is pleased with that. But when we look in society today, my brothers and my sisters, there's still a whole lot of hatred going on in our society. It's been there all along, but it's sort of been kept in the closets, and it's sort of been swept under the rug. But you know how it is when you sweep so much stuff under the rug. Eventually, it forms a lump. Amen? And then somebody ends up tripping over it. And so because of the things that have been going on in our society with racism and prejudiceness and so on and so forth, God has given me a message this morning that I want to share with you all. And it's in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And when you get there, we're going to start at verse 19 and going to read down to through verse 23. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 23. If you're there, you say amen.
Amen.
Now this is...
What page?
862.
Page 862 in your pew Bibles. Now listen to me, saints. As we read this, after I finish reading, please don't close your Bibles. This is a very, very important message, and we need to be able to look here and to see some of the principles that I'm going to be lifting out of this context today, that we might be able to share this very passage with somebody who has the wrong view about people and about color and about race. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, saints, there is no law. We're going to stop there. I want to use for subject just for a few moments. What's going on inside of you? What's going on inside of you? Brother Kevin, thank you for praying for me. What's going on inside of you? Brother Claude, can I have just a little bit more volume? Just a little bit more volume. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, each and every day when I watch the news, just when you think you've got society all figured out, it seems like something else seems to leap out at you. Amen. Just when you began to think that the stuff that used to go on that really hindered America and society and families and our children, when you think that those things have finally been put to rest, and then all of a sudden it just leaps back up again. And so as I've been looking at the news, and I'm sure you all have as well, and we saw the situation that happened down in Charlottesville, Virginia, where a young lady was out with others who were standing up for what's right and what's godly, is that we all, as God's children by creation, should be able to walk in society, no matter what color we are, no matter what size we are, no matter what our religion is, that we should be able to all walk in society and receive respect from our fellow man that we pass on a daily basis. But there was a group of people. Now, I'm saying a group of people because it is not about color. There was a group of people who came into Charlottesville protesting about certain statues being removed. And apparently what they want to hold on to is symbolizations of what took place back in the early 1900s or even back in the 1950s and 1960s. When racism was at an all-time high. And because of what was on the inside of them is what caused them to say the things that they said. And then ultimately, because of what was on the inside of them is what caused them to do what was done by driving a vehicle through a crowd of innocent people. And when I say innocent, these weren't people who had guns and who were shooting at them, but drove through a crowd and took a young lady's life and injured several people. And so I began to scratch my head and began to think, and I would go into prayer and say, God, what in the world is going on? What is it that people are thinking, and what causes people to reach a point in their lives where they began to feel this way about other people that they don't even know? Other people that they've never even met before, but yet have judged and seem to have so much hatred in their hearts for. And so God led me to this passage here, my brothers and sisters. And one of the things that God shows us here is, if you look with me in verse 16, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. And when he writes to this church at Galatia, Paul has been to this church. He has established this church. He has preached the gospel to them according to Jesus Christ. A lot of these individuals have received Christ. But Paul hears that the stand that they had taken when he was there, they have changed course. And they have began to listen to the wrong people. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. They began to listen to the wrong people, and now their behavior has changed. You know, I always say, my brothers and sisters, you got to be careful who you listen to. Even when you come into God's house, not everybody standing behind this sacred desk is preaching love and unity.
That's right.
And so in verse 16, Paul says this, I say then. He says, walk in the Spirit. He said, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the first point I want you to jot down is this. That you have to take every step of the Christian life in dependence on the Spirit of God. You've got to take every step in the Christian life on the dependence of the Spirit of God. And so that's what Paul says here. He says, listen, he says back in verse 15, he said, if ye bite and devour one another, he said, take heed. He said that ye be consumed one of another. He says, if you bite and devour one another, then you're only eventually going to destroy one another. We can never expect to bite and devour someone because of their race and then eventually not expect someone to eventually to bite and to devour us. And so what Paul is saying is that he's saying to the church of Galatia, you will not have, if you do not love each other, you won't have to worry about the devil destroying you. You'll be destroying your own selves. And that's what's happening in America. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, America is self-destructing from within. We don't have to worry about Vladimir Putin. We don't have to worry about Russia. We don't have to worry about North Korea. We don't have to worry about China. We don't have to worry about some missile coming over here destroying us. We're doing a pretty darn good enough job of that ourselves.
Amen.
How dare we as a nation talk about we are a land of the free and we love one another and we disagree with North Korea and then we worried about them sending over a missile, but here we are sending missiles to one another. You really don't even need the Bible. All it takes is common sense for us to realize what we're doing to each other. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. So he says to them, he says, walk in the Spirit. He said, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now he's going to explain something to us as far as why it's so vital that as a Christian, we've got to learn to depend on the Spirit of God as we walk every day. Watch this, watch this. He says in verse 17, he said, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now, what he's saying is, he said, and the Spirit against the flesh. He's saying that there's a battle, there's a war that goes on the inside of every man who's born again. Now, I say every man who's born again because here he's talking about the Spirit of God warring against this old sinful flesh. So even when we get saved, there's still a battle going on inside of us. There's things that the flesh wants to do. Now watch this. There's stuff that we had in us before we got saved. And if we're not careful, the stuff that was in us, come on now, come on now. Now there are some people who have gotten saved that used to be racist and used to be prejudiced. And if they're not careful, some of that stuff will creep back up in them. And so Paul says here, he says, you got to be careful. He said, because the Spirit of God is warring against your flesh. And so he says, you got to walk in the Spirit. If not, the flesh will control your way of thinking. Now, do you think that out of all of the people who were down there representing the supremacists, representing the neo-Nazis and the Nazis, do you think that none of them attend church? Do you think that none of them are able to quote scripture? Some of those folks went back to their hometowns and sat right down at a pew in God's house. Amen. And said amen to the preaching. And so Paul says that there's a battle going on. And then he said in the second part of verse 17, he said, and these are contrary the one to another. He said, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He said that there's a battle going on, saints, between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is battling against us because it does not want us to do the things that we ought to do. Now watch this, because even though we may not go to a rally, and even though we may not say harsh things against people, but when somebody does do things against us, do we forgive them? Because that's what the Spirit says to do, but the flesh says don't let them off the hook. So even though we don't go to rallies, we still got to be careful how we walk on a daily basis. So that's what he says in verses 16 and 17. Now watch this, watch this. Then in verse 18, here's another little point. He says, but, he said, if ye be led of the Spirit, he says, ye are not under the law. Now what Paul is saying is, he said apparently, even though they were saved, he's saying that there was some stuff that they were doing. There's a way that they were treating each other. He said that was contrary to what the Spirit was leading them to do, and they were allowing their flesh to overcome their decision instead of listening to the Spirit of God. Which says this to me, that whatever they were doing that was wrong towards one another, they knew what was right. But instead still did the wrong thing because it felt better to them in the flesh. You know when somebody has not been good to you, it feels better to go upside their head than it does to walk away. If somebody curses you out, it feels better to curse them back. I said it feels better. But by the time we get to this text today, you're going to find that it's not better. And if it's something that we can do on a regular basis, you need to really think about what you have inherited and what you haven't. And so he says in verse 18, I want you to write this down. In verse 18, he says this. He says, obey the Spirit over the law. Obey the Spirit over the law. I'm going to explain it to you. It's very important. If you be led of the Spirit, he said, then you're not under the law. So in other words, what Paul is saying here is, he's saying, hey, there's some stuff that was written in the Old Testament according to the law that some people who have hatred in their hearts are trying to stand on today. Like for instance, when it said in the law, an eye for an eye. And some people today are trying to stand on that law. I'm not talking about when the Bible says, when the law says, don't run a stop sign. I'm not talking about that type of law. I'm talking about the laws that were written in the Old Testament when it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Because back then, if somebody hits you in your right eye, guess what? You could also hit them in their right eye. But you couldn't hit them in the left. Because they hit you in your right, you had to do the exact same thing to them that they did to you. Nothing more. And so he's saying here, he's saying you got to obey the Spirit over what the law says. And watch this, even when it comes to the laws of our land, if the Spirit of God says to do this, I'm to obey God's word and not what man-made laws are. Because the law says that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And so if the police comes in here and says, listen, brother preacher, it's the law. They can get married. The law's been passed. You got to marry them. I'm going to tell him, listen, brother police officer, the Spirit of God says it's an abomination and I will not do it.
Amen.
Not only will I not do it, but if it's taking place in the church where I'm pastoring, eventually either they're going to change their lifestyle or they've got to go. Do you not know that the church tolerates too much stuff?
Yes.
God loves everybody. He does. But what about the verses that said that God is a consuming fire? Such as when people refuse to change, eventually God will get some folks. The people in Canaan, when God sent his people in, under the leadership of Joshua to conquest the land, God sent his people in and he says, go in there, and he said, wipe out everybody. And why would a loving God do that? I'm glad you asked. The reason why he would do that is because the people who were there, he had given them hundreds and hundreds of years to change. And God knows when a person will never change. And he told Israel to go in and to annihilate, to wipe them out. He said, men, women, children, and animals. He said, don't let any of them live. And God says to do that because if you don't take them out, when you get there and settle in, eventually they're going to have a negative influence on you and you're going to become just like them. They didn't go in and wipe all the people out. And they had a negative influence on Israel. And it messed God's people up. Let's keep reading. The Bible says in verse 19, it says now. He said now. Paul said now. Listen. He said, I want to explain to you what works are acceptable to God and what works aren't. In other words, works are behaviors, choices, actions. Let's see where we are. He says, now the works of the flesh, the very thing that we said is warring against the Spirit of God. He said, the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, he says, look, he says, when people are a certain way on the inside, don't miss this, church. When people are a certain way on the inside, eventually it's going to come out. He says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, all these things are the works of the flesh. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, worshiping false gods, witchcraft. Now, watch this, saints, watch this. We hear about adultery, we hear about fornication, loose living, sexual immorality. We hear about idolatry, we hear about witches and witchcraft, and we say, oh, God hates that stuff. It's disgusting. God can't stand it. And we'll look at people that we know who are caught up in that stuff. And you know what? And we'll despise those folks. Come on and say amen, somebody. But then watch this. Hatred. What about people who have hatred for other colors? See, we don't get too upset about that. But it's in the same category. It's in the same list of being works of the flesh that are worn against the Spirit of God, which means, hey, whether we think it's bad or not, it's still against the Spirit of God. Amen. It's still against the Word of God. And so what we saw in Charlottesville was pure hatred. Yeah. Not only did we see hatred, but when you keep reading, variances, emulations, and then there's another word, wrath. There were people down there that were angry. They were whirling out insults and they were throwing urine on people and they were spitting on people. Wrath. Hatred. Watch this. First of all, you harbor hatred on the inside of one's heart. And then the wrath and the anger comes to the surface. Then after the wrath and the anger comes to the surface, then there's strife. There's a battle and a war between two parties or two groups of people or two individuals. All works of the flesh being manifested. Stuff that's going on which expresses and reveals that the individual, whether they're saved or whether they're not, they're giving into the flesh and not doing what God's will is. I wish somebody would lift this message and would send it to the people who have hatred in their hearts and tell them to go back and read God's word and find the list where the description of their behavior is placed and ask them, what's going on the inside of you? Because the problem is not the people of color. The problem is on the inside of the individual. They need their insides fixed. Amen. Watch this. And then he says, there's envyings. In other words, I heard one of the guys that was being interviewed, and he was bragging and boasting about that girl that got killed, about her getting killed. And he says, well, you know, some people are gonna have to be killed. He said, for the cause. He said, and then he went on to talk about Jared Kushner, and he called him an ungodly name, and he said that he had no right being with that pretty girl, you know, talking about Ivana Trump. He said he had no right to be with her. And you know what? And in the church, we ain't talking about the reality of the stuff that's going on in society. We look at it on the news and we see it, you know, but we don't come to God's house and really talk about what's really going on in America. And we got to get back to really talking about the reality of what's happening so that God's people can understand what's right and what's really wrong. In other words, that was envying. He was envying Jared Kushner because he was dating a white girl. And he said, that Jew has no business with that pretty white girl. What? There ain't but two groups of people in this world. Ungodly and godly. Saved and unsaved. Light and dark, spiritually, ain't got nothing to do with color. Clean and unclean, ain't got nothing to do with soap and water. And then, watch this. First, there's hatred that's hidden on the inside. And then when you get with other people full of hatred, it starts to come out. The wrath comes out. The anger comes out. And then after the wrath and the anger, then comes the strife, where you find yourself opposed against another group or another individual. And then there's envyings that's realized, you know, you ain't got no business with this person or that person. In other words, you see what somebody else has got and you think it is not that you want what they have. You just don't want them to have it. And then he says, murders. You see the step? So what I'm trying to say is that anybody who has hatred on the inside has the potential of taking somebody else's life.
Yep.
And it's evident. Now you know what I believe? You know what I believe? The young man who ran his car through the crowd of people, I don't think he left Ohio with the intentions to go down there and to run through a crowd of people. But I think that he left Ohio with hatred in his heart. And after he got down there in Charlottesville, the wrath began to build and the anger began to build. And then the strife began to form between the two groups. And then the envyings. And then all of a sudden, he decided, I'm going to take them out. And then the murdering takes place. Because not a single time was the Spirit of God allowed to control him, but yet the flesh was in complete control. That's what's happening with people today. Now watch this. Paul says at the end of that long list, he says, of the which he said, I tell you before in verse 21, he says, as I have also told you in the time past. In other words, Paul says, this is not the first time I'm telling you. He says, but I'm having to tell you again. So apparently some folks still refuse to turn around from their behavior and from their thoughts. And he says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the third thing I want you to write down. The third thing I want you to write down is that if you find yourself doing the things that are listed in verses 19, 20, and 21, you are about to bust hell wide open. Now, I didn't say it, saints. Look at what your Bible says. It says, they which do such things shall not what? He said, in other words, let me make it plain. In other words, he says, you can't get in your car, travel from all over the United States, come to Charlottesville, form a group, start chanting out hatred slurs and hating people and getting angry and being jealous and taking people's lives and expecting to go to heaven. I can't make it any plainer than that. But watch this. Here's the danger, saints. Here's the danger. The danger is for all of us. Because there are some Christians who may be thinking, because of the hatred that they have for blacks and for Jews and for people who stand up for minorities, I hate them too. See? You can't do that. Hatred cannot come in the heart regardless of what people are doing. We still have to love. We still have to pray for. We still have to encourage. We still have to trust God that He's in control of every storm that comes in our lives. And so the third thing is that anybody who's manifesting these characteristics will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at verse 22. It says, but let's look at the works of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Let's look at the works that God is manifesting in the believer, in the Christian's life. Does anybody love people when they hate you? Because that's the works of the fruit of Spirit. That's what God approves. Does anybody have joy even in the midst of sadness? Does anybody have peace when there's a storm raging on the sea? Is anybody long-suffering? In other words, it simply means to put up with people for a long time. Is anybody gentle with your brothers and your sisters? Do you always have a kind word to say? Well, sometimes you get a little sharp. Sometimes you get a little bitter with your brothers and your sisters. Is anybody manifesting any goodness? Anybody manifesting any goodness? Anybody demonstrating faith? Because you believe the promises of God, that you're walking by faith and not by sight? Anybody got some meekness going on in your life? Which means that you're an in-between person. You know how to be hard, but you also know how to be soft. You know how to get in between. In other words, a meek person is a person who will raise their voice, and as soon as they get the individual attention, they come back down and they start speaking soft. That's strength under control. And then, saints, temperance or perseverance. That's self-control. Don't answer this question, but what would you do if someone walked up to you and spit in your face? What would you do if someone walked up to you and slapped you on one cheek? Would you turn the other? Or would you get busy going to work? I'm just telling you, saints, that if we're going to be supernatural children of God, we got to manifest love and peace and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, because that displays the supernatural power and strength and change that God has given us the responsibility to take on. People in the world who are filled with hatred and wrath and envies and strife will never change until they see a people who displays love and joy and peace. Somebody might say, but preacher, I'm not Jesus. He's the only man that was perfect. But wait a minute. What about Stephen in Acts chapter 7? They were stoning him to death. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we can do it. I don't know what's going on inside of you today, but what's going on inside of me is sadness for the people who are displaying these characteristics that will keep them out of heaven, which reveals that they have not entered into God's grace. And at the end of this verse 23, it says, against such things, against these things, there is no law. In other words, no matter what people do to us, say about us, or what they think about us, it will never overcome who we are in Christ Jesus. I would love to sit down across the table with mediators and talk with a leader of a Ku Klux Klan or any hatred group and let them say whatever they want to say about how they feel without any interruptions. But they're going to have to agree to listen to what I have to say without any interruption. And then at the end of the conversation, just get up from the table and go our separate ways. You know why I say that? Because all it really takes is one person from each group to walk away with the truth from God's word and be able to go back and to make a change. You see, here's the thing, saints. We will never change the way people think in certain groups until we form a relationship with one person in that group and get them converted so that they can make a change from the inside out. Isn't that where the change takes place? From the inside out? See, somebody's got to be converted in the Ku Klux Klan. They won't get converted by us yelling back and forth. They won't get converted by us acting like them. We got to get on our knees and we got to pray fervently, saints. The Bible says, whenever possible, live at peace with all men. What's going on the inside of you? Do you have any hatred in your heart? Is there any envies in your heart? Is there any strife with you and anybody? Is there any wrath in your heart? Are you angry with somebody? Because if we are saints, we're acting just like those who have not inherited the kingdom of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now, Lord God, with bowed heads and humble hearts, saying, Lord, thank you for revealing to us today that it's so easy for us to unawarely to begin to behave like those who have not accepted Christ Jesus. We come now, Lord God, with bowed heads, saying, God, forgive us. If we've acted wrongly, if we've manifested the wrong characteristics, oh God, we come praying fervently now for anyone in this world who has hatred in their heart for your people, oh God, whom you created in your image. We come praying, oh God, that you would show them the error of their ways. We come praying, oh God, that as people march our streets and travel our highways with the desire and with the motives to do harm and to divide this nation, that God, you would stop them in their tracks. That you might save somebody on the inside of their hatred, that they might form a ministry and begin to witness to such behavior and to such people with such evil desires. And God, we ask that you would strengthen us and empower us in such a way, Father, that we will be able to stand with love and peace and joy in the face of adversity. That we'll be able to forgive. And then, God, we pray that when it's all said and done, that you will come and get us and take us home to that mansion in the sky. where the wicked will cease from troubling, and our weary souls will be at rest. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here today who's never been born again? Who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If your soul is well, just wave your hand and say amen. If your soul is well. Hallelujah. My time is up, and I thank you for yours. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ron. Let's all stand, and we'll dismiss with a word.